The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
The last 15 months, we have been celebrating Mass here at this Church of St. Andrew, placing our prayer in the beginning of our day and all the work and the work-made prayer that will come thereafter. He's become a patron de facto of visitation mission. As we prayed at the beginning of this Mass today, he's not only a preacher and a pastor, but a ceaseless intercessor for us before God. So today we come and we thank the Lord for the gift of all the prayers St. Andrew has made for us. Prayers that have been heard, prayers we'll only find out about when, God willing, we stand with him at Jesus' eternal right side. The Lord gives us the gift of St. Andrew because he's got so much to teach us. In my life as a priest, as your life, carrying out the charism of life in the middle of the world. First thing St. Andrew teaches us is about an extraordinary hunger for the Lord. He longed for the Lord. He had been seeking him as a disciple of St. John the Baptist. And as soon as St. John the Baptist said those words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," with haste, St. John and another disciple of John the Baptist, almost certainly St. John the Evangelist, hustled after Jesus. The one thing in which he was a failure was he was an abject private investigator as he was following Jesus surreptitiously. Jesus turned around and out at them and said, "What do you seek?" And somewhat lamely, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, they cried out, "Where do you stay?" And Jesus invited them into a dialogue for the whole rest of their life, saying, "Come and see." And they went, and they saw. St. John, with great detail, because this was the most important event of his life, documented exactly what time it was. It was 4 p.m. 2 hours later would be sunset for the vigil of the Sabbath, so they wouldn't be able to move. So for the next 26 hours, they shared Jesus' company. And it totally changed their life, and totally changed the history of the world. As soon as it was possible for them to travel, which would have been nightfall on the Sabbath 26 hours later, St. Andrew ran to find his brother Peter, who was just called Simon, to say, "We have found the Messiah." He couldn't keep the joy of the encounter to himself. And then Simon ran with Andrew to meet the one whom Andrew thought was the Messiah. Little did Andrew know what Jesus' plans were for his brother. All he wanted to do was share his joy. But as soon as Jesus saw Simon, he said, "You are Simon. From now on, you will be called Kepha. You'll now be called Rock." Later, he would describe how he would build his entire church on him. But that wasn't the first time Andrew wanted to facilitate an encounter, and the Lord, in his response to Andrew's just making an introduction, went so far beyond what Andrew would have anticipated. The next time we know, when Jesus looked at that famished crowd who had been listening to him preaching for a long time, 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women, 15,000 kids, saw that they hadn't had anything to eat for quite some time, and asked the question, where can we find enough, or the disciples asked the question, where can we find enough food to feed such a multitude? Jesus said, "You feed them yourselves." And they said, "Not even half a year's worth of work would be enough to feed such a crowd." But Andrew wasn't making excuses. Andrew started to go around. He found a boy, as St. John tells us, of 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were very little, but nevertheless, it was a start. So he brought that boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. And then Jesus worked the stupendous miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish. Each one of the 12 apostles would have a wicker basket full of leftovers afterward, even though they wouldn't have been able to fill up the bottom of that wicker basket before the miracle. So that each one would be able to remember exactly what can happen when we bring people and whatever meager resources they have to the Lord. And that miracle, of course, led as a sign to the miracle of the Eucharist and the miracle of the eternal banquet. All from a simple introduction. Likewise, again, when Philip came to Andrew and said, "There are some Greeks here asking to see Jesus," Philip didn't think that he could make the introduction himself, so he went to Andrew. And Andrew brought the Greeks to meet Jesus. And that's when Jesus' response again far surpassed whatever Andrew's expectations might have been. It was the bell that began Jesus' hour. "Now is the Son of Man glorified," Jesus exclaimed. Why? Prophets Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel had all foretold that the light would be taken to all nations. And when these Greeks were coming, looking to see God saves, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus knew that that was the beginning of his final hour. Then he said, "Unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it falls, if it dies, it will produce much fruit." That's when the passion began. All Andrew thought he was doing was introducing to foreigners. And Jesus was about to inaugurate that definitive stage of his kingdom. What do we learn? First thing we learn is about an incredible zeal that we have for Jesus, to be able to follow him wherever he leads. Second thing we learn is about how to become a fisher of men. Sometimes we can think to be a good fisherman, we need to get on television. We need to create some awesome viral videos. No, most of the time, to be a good fisherman is like a patient fly fisher. You catch them one at a time. And that was Andrew's method, one at a time, because every single one was so important in salvation history, and Andrew grasped that. In today's first reading, we see how important it is for us to be able to do what we see Andrew doing, sharing the faith. "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved," St. Paul said. But then he asks, "How can they call on him in whom they don't believe, have not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone to preach? How can people preach unless they are sent?" Then he prays the feet of the one who brings the good news. Andrew was one who has brought many to believe because he had heard, and not heard selfishly, but heard fruitfully. And his following of the Lord made it possible for him then to be sent by the Lord, together with the Lord, together with his word, together with his very presence by the power of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, in order to be able continuously to bring others to Jesus. St. Andrew wants us to learn how to do this. One of the most important traits of Andrew that, in my opinion, doesn't get noticed, but was essential to his discipleship and his apostolate, was how humble he was. I think he is by far the humblest of all the apostles, because he put into practice that most difficult of prayers, the litany of humility, in which we pray that others may be chosen and I set aside. Yeah, sure, he was chosen as apostle. But you remember what Jesus did in today's gospel. He went to the seashore of Galilee, and he chose Peter and Andrew. He chose James and John. But at those most important parts of Jesus' life, he chose three to follow. When, for example, he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, when he hiked up the exceedingly high mountain and was transfigured before them, when he went a stone's throw away from the other eight in the garden, he took Peter, he took James, and he took John. And Andrew, even though he was one of the, we could call him four protocleti, the four first called, he was the one not going along. And he didn't find his teddy bear and warm blanket and roll up under some type of sycamore tree weeping. He continued to do everything that he could to bring people to Jesus because he knew how blessed he was just to be there and how happy he was that the people he was able to introduce to the Lord would do things even greater by worldly eyes than Andrew himself was doing. He was capable of being great precisely because the Lord exalts the humble, and he was humble. All of this came to its dramatic conclusion in Achaia, at the very end of his life. We see how people live by how they die. And Andrew died using every minute, an ounce of energy he had left, trying to bring people to the Lord Jesus. He was crucified on what's called a decusset, or X-shaped cross. When you were crucified as Jesus was, with nails through your nerves and your feet, it was much more painful, but it was much quicker. In order to be able to breathe, you needed to step up and open up your lungs because your lungs would collapse the way it would happen. With Andrew, when you crucified somebody in a decusset cross, you didn't have the nails through your feet. So it was a little less painful in that sense. But your quads and your legs were immobilized. There was no way you could pump up. So the only way really to keep your lungs from collapsing was constantly and desperately continuing to speak. And the Passio of St. Andrew describes that for the last 38 hours of his life, he was preaching about Jesus, preaching about his faith in the one who lived and died out of love for him, preaching that he was the Messiah, and praying aloud that people would come to know him as he knew him. He preached until he could no longer speak as he expired. What a great witness. He wants us similarly, by our words and by our witness, to preach incessantly all the way to the end, so that from that last word on earth, we will pass into an eternal gloria. St. Andrew was present when Jesus took bread and wine in his hands for the first time in the upper room and changed them into himself. He received Holy Communion from the Lord, that first Last Supper. And he was instructed by the Lord to do this in memory of me. And he took that sacrament, that incredible gift of Jesus' presence, in all his preaching. And now he's praying for us, that as we prepare to behold the same Lamb of God, who as soon as he heard him, left everything else to follow, we might respond with similar wholehearted generosity. We have St. Andrew, not just as a preacher, not just as a pastor, but as a ceaseless intercessor. And this is what he is praying for you and for me now. St. Andrew the Apostle, pray for us.